Unfortunately, as her tail was wagging too much, the pee was being sprayed upwards and covered the woman's face. What? No! Before we dive in, a warning. The content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic. So listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs. Understanding their brains and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you and having a few laughs along the way. Hello, HMD family. Welcome to this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. And today what we're going to be talking about is what I see as a vet, a behaviorist, a dog trainer, as the most common pitfall that owners fall into when they are working with their dog's behavior. And that's especially when we're working with your dog's behavior where, I don't know, they may be reactive to people or other dogs, or they've got separation anxiety, or they're overexcited by life and, you know, life's a bit stressful right now and you're desperate to fix it. And there's this pitfall that so commonly people fall into. Now, the reality of owning a dog, working with a dog, and transforming their behavior is that it's not really linear, okay? So if you were to imagine that your dog's behavior transformation and your dog's behavior results, if we zoom out on that journey, actually we see that things improve over time. Yeah, if we look at it, if we use the lens of looking at months, right, or, you know, even weeks. But when you zoom in on that transformation of that, you know, that linear progression of things just getting better and better and better over time, when you zoom in and you look at that on like through the lens of days or through the lens of hours, what you actually see is that you have a good day, you have a bad day, you have a good hour, you have a bad hour, you have a good hour, you have a bad hour. But over time, the good days get better and the bad days get better. Both of them move upwards, both of them improve. And what we see so commonly is that actually owners have a bad day or a bad hour and they think, what I'm doing isn't working. They think, what my behaviorist told me to do isn't working. What I'm learning in the Help My Dog online hub, it's not working. And then the next hour it gets better, but we've already changed the plan. We've already decided, okay, back to the drawing board, I'm gonna do something else. And very commonly, we see this when owners are working on a reward-based training method, right? So we're force-free, we're working with our dog, we're using, you know, food rewards, we're using toy rewards, we're rewarding them with experiences. And you've got all these people around you that are saying, you know, those methods don't work. You need to use force. You need to use this tool. Here's a quick fix, yeah? Here's the, you know, the magic wand that fixes your dog with, you know, one repetition, a shock collar or whatever else. And you've got to stay confident. You've got to stay kind of trusting yourself, trusting your dog, trusting the process. Because in those moments where you're having a bad hour or you're having a bad day, and there are people around you talking about these quick fixes and talking about how, you know, use this particular tool, it's tempting. And we get it. And it's the most common pitfall that we encounter when, you know, people come for behavior consultation in the behavior clinic, when people join the online Help My Dog Hub membership. Often, you know, people arrive and they feel, you know, lots of guilt and lots of shame around things that they have done to their dog because they've been advised by so-called professionals and they've done them, you know, in good faith. And when we dive into it, when we kind of like zoom into it, what we see is that it didn't really resonate with you. You didn't, you know, you didn't go on to the start this journey thinking, I want to, you know, abuse my dog, force my dog and do horrible things to my dog. You probably started on the right path, but you had a bad day or you had a bad hour. Somebody shouted very loudly and said, oh, that's because you're, you know, you're doing this method. You need to use this horrible thing. And you used that horrible thing, or you did that horrible thing, or you intimidated your dog, you used an aversive. And it didn't work. In fact, it maybe made the situation worse. And then you're moving forward with that shame. Now, that's why I'm recording this, right? That's why I'm speaking to you right now. Because you've got to realize that even when you're on the right path, even when things are improving, dogs are animals. They're gonna do spontaneous things. They're gonna be, you know, a little bit random sometimes. They're gonna have good days, they're gonna have bad days, and that is normal. It's about the good days getting better and the bad days getting better, and the average improves over time. Now, one of the reasons why that can be is because of a common human, I guess it's part of like human psychology, I guess, is that when we have a good day, on that day, we think, oh my goodness, it was, we had this most amazing win. I had a walk where my dog didn't react to anything. What I'm doing is working. Yeah, it's, but then what we do is we replace that language of what I'm doing is working with instead, what I'm doing has worked, right? And there's danger in that. Because the next day, you go out on your walk, and your dog maybe does bark at one dog, lunge at one dog, and all of a sudden you feel really disheartened. You feel like you're having a bad day, and you forget that a walk where your dog only reacted to one dog a month ago, 2 months ago, that would have been a dream. That would have been like, oh my goodness, I am winning. I've made it. This is, you know, I would give anything to have that walk. But because you've had a walk where your dog didn't react at all, now it's even more painful when your dog does react, and it's even more punishing. And what was the win of yesterday has become the expectation of today. And the challenge with that, and the reason why I'm talking to you about that this again, is because if we're not aware of that, then you can feel like your dog owning journey hasn't been rewarding, when actually it's massively rewarding. We've got to look at things on the macro, not the micro. We've got to look at things on the weeks, the time frame of weeks or months, not the time frame of hours or days. That's true of most things in life, right? You get more and more punished the more you kind of zone in on a particular bad event, and you don't realize about all the good stuff that's going on around. So guys, I wanted to do this podcast, share this podcast with you, and I also wanted to give you some practical tips on what you can do so that you can continue to look on the macro. You can continue to see that what you're doing is really working. And I'm by no means saying that dog training transformations need to take a long time. They really don't, right? You know, you can see huge transformations in as little as 3 weeks if you're setting the right expectation about what you should be looking for and spotting the win. Right? You can see massive transformations in 3 months. You can see really unbelievable transformations in 6 months. But you're not going to get to the 3 months. You're not going to get to the 6 months if we don't see that those bad hours, those bad days, they're not as bad as they were. they're more infrequent. Maybe they're not as extreme. They're not as, you know, they're more recoverable. But we've got to be keeping our eyes peeled for it. So here are some things that I like to do to stay motivated when I'm working on a behavior transformation. And of course, we're working on a behavior transformation right now with little Gorse. She was bitten by a dog 20 times her size, reactive literally to the world. After that experience, she didn't even want to go outside to go to the toilet. That was like step one. That's literally where we started from. She went from being this happy, carefree, loving, confident dog to I'm absolutely traumatized and I'm scared of the world. So I, you know, when I say that I'm giving you these practical tips, it's probably because I'm doing them right now, right? To stay motivated. And you know, when I think back about how Gorse has transformed over the past few months already, it's unbelievable, right? We're out, you know, on walks, we're out seeing the world, we're out and we're not reacting to everything. That's huge, yeah? But you've got to stay motivated to see it. So First thing that I like to do is I like to keep a bit of a rough kind of written diary. And the diary isn't focused on here's what went well, here's what didn't go well. It's literally like, you know, you imagine your stereotypical like gratitude journal, and I'll write three things every day that I'm grateful for in working with a particular dog, or working with all my dogs, or working on a particular case. And those, you know, the nice thing about it is it starts to train your brain to think, to look for the positive and look for the good and look for the wins. And they don't have to be big wins, right? You're literally like, here's what I am grateful for today. We're not comparing it to yesterday. We're not comparing it to a week ago. We're saying, here is what I'm grateful for today. Now, the cool thing about that is that when you're having a bit of a down moment and you're like, oh, I've had a bad day, I've had a bad hour, you can review where you are. So you can flick back through the pages and you can say, okay, 2 months ago, I was grateful that Gorse actually took a piece of food outside and didn't spit it out. Today, I'm grateful for the fact that she's playing all these games and strategies out and about in the real world. Yeah, that's a huge jump. But we wouldn't see that if we're constantly, you know, comparing ourselves to other people, or we're focusing on the things that didn't quite go so well. So that's the first tip. Second tip that I've got for you. Hey guys, I just want to take a little pause to let you know how you can get involved with the official Help My Dog membership hub. If you're enjoying geeking out about the science of dog behaviour, want to watch dogs practically being trained in real life, and you want to progress even further, you can join our members-only community and get targeted learning with me each and every week to help you combat your dog struggles at home, on walks, and out and about. And right now, when you jump in, you can actually watch Gorse's behaviour rehabilitation from trauma to triumph in an over-the-shoulder video diary showing real-life situations. To find out more, just head over to www.helpmydog.com/hub. Second tip that I've got for you is when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're, and I teach this in the Help My Dog online hub all the time, because there are so many like transformational strategies and techniques and step-by-steps that you can do to get the results that you want with your dog, that it can sometimes be like, well, I want that result and I want that result and I want to fix that and I want to fix that. Now I'm overwhelmed. And what I always say is just pick one, right? Pick one, and then what I would do is, instead of creating a to-do list, instead what I'd think about is, at the end of each day, just write down the things that you did do that day, right? It's very different to saying, right, this is the list of things that I must do, and now there is this expectation on me. It's instead, we say every day, right, we're going to interact with our dogs, we're going to do stuff with our dogs, we're going to play games with our dogs, whatever, but we're not going to put an expectation of you must do 10, you must do 5, right? Instead, at the end of that day, you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to list the things that I did today, and it will always surprise you. It will always make you feel good, even if it's just 2 or 3 things, right? You realize that you've done them. If you set this expectation that you must do 10 things every day, and you manage to achieve that 3 out of the 7 days of the week, you go away from that thinking, I've failed, right? But actually, that week, you might have done 5 things every day. You might have done 3 things every day. And all we're doing is we're changing the focus. And by thinking about what we have done rather than what we should have done, we don't end up, as that saying, isn't there, don't should all over yourself. And it's so true when it comes to dog training, right? We as dog owners, we kind of should on ourselves all the time. And we're like, we should be doing this. There's people around us that are like, you should be doing this, should be doing that. Even just think about dog walking and how controversial that is when, you know, if I film a video or record a podcast where I'm like, I don't think we should be walking your dog right now. I think, you know, there are so many skills that they need to learn. There'll be people that will, you know, if that gets in front of the wrong audience, there'll be people that will be like, if your dog is over 20 kilos, you should walk them 3 times a day. If they're under 20 kilos, you should walk them 2x a day. That one, that's a generalization. 2, that's a rule that then you kind of creating a stick to beat yourself with, right? And 3, how limiting is that? That you're now saying, I have to do this, even though I know it's not in the best interests of my dog, because we should all over ourselves, yeah? So that's tip number 2. Actually think about What you've done and what you did get to do rather than thinking about what you should do. Get rid of that to-do list. It is not necessary. Third thing is I will have a little... it's not a to-do list. It's more of like a... If I get 5 minutes list, yeah? And if I don't get 5 minutes, I don't get to the list, it's fine. But I will do a if I get 5 minutes list. And the if I get 5 minutes list is literally things that I don't know. If, for example, if you're a Help My Dog Hub member, it might be, oh, I watched this week's lesson and I can see how that you know, 2 minute game will be so transformational for my dog's reactivity. That goes on the if I get 5 minutes list. Right? Or the other, another thing that might go on the if I get 5 minutes list, it might be the thing that you and your dog love to do together the most, the game that you love to play together, the time, you know, maybe you just like cuddling and massaging your dog. Like, if I get 5 minutes, then that's what I'm going to do. Like with the horses, it will be like, okay, if I get 5 minutes, I'm going to do some carrot stretches. I don't have time to like tack them up and do a structured school-in session with them. Instead, I've got 5 minutes and quick, here's the, you know, if I've got 5 minutes list. The reason why I like that is twofold. One, because you realize all the 5 minutes that you do get in a day when you're, you know, standing around waiting for something. You know, I've got a meeting in 15 minutes. I don't have time to start anything new. I don't have time to record a podcast. Right, I've got 5 minutes, let's do something with one of the animals, yeah? You discover all the little 5 minutes that you get, so you end up doing more, so that at the end of the day, what you actually then find is that you're writing more on your I did this list, right? The second reason why I really like it is because often in those 5 minutes, we do think, oh, I'll train the dog, yeah? And you get your bum bag on, you get your clicker in your hand, you've got your daily food allowance ready to go, you've got your dog's toy in your hand, your dog's in front of you, and then you think to yourself, right, what am I gonna do? And yeah, and 2 minutes pass, and then you have a little sort of faff around, and then you come away from the session, you feel really deflated because you've not, you know, you've not been clear about what you want to do, what you want to achieve, what the goal is, what you're trying to build. And one thing that I'm really passionate about is explaining the what to do to transform your dog's behavior, but also why it works. And that's where, when you understand the why it works, you can think, I can see why when I get 5 minutes, it's worth me doing this with my dog. Whereas if you're just doing things kind of like blindly, like, oh, it looks fun, it looks cool, you get demotivated because it's hard to kind of see it in relation to the bigger picture. So guys, those are the three things that I think are going to really improve your motivation. But there's one more thing that I think will improve your motivation, and that is to not be so hard on yourselves, right? To remember that the reason why we invited an animal into our lives is because we wanted uncertainty, unpredictability. We wanted to be adapting to them. We wanted to be working, going through life together as a team, yeah, with a companion. You didn't want a robot, yeah? You didn't go to your nearest technology store and get another device, right? Instead, what you did is you brought an animal into your life, and then we kind of forget that when they arrive and they're not robotic. And then people are kind of shaming us, being like, why don't you own a robot? It's like, well, because I didn't get a robot. And that's where the cringe stories come in. That's where this segment that we added to the podcast of It Could Be Worse has proven to be very, very popular, because we get to hear your listener stories. We get to hear what's going well, or more often than not, what is really not going well. So, Madeline, have we got some cringe stories?
Here we go.
Amazing.
So you go.
Yay! Right, let's do this. So, my fiance and I have two spaniels. One of them, Dandy, struggles badly with her dog-dog hello conversations and finds the entire world and every blade of grass in it so exciting she struggles to turn her brain off. We are in the middle of Behave Vet consults with more success already than we would have ever imagined. I love that. I've just got to stop right there. I love and I don't, obviously this is anonymized, so I don't know who's written this, but well done. We are in the middle of BehaveVet consults with more success already than we would have ever imagined. So that says to me that you've not made the wins of yesterday the expectation of today. You're like, I can't believe I'm living this life with my dog. And this was a dream that I never thought would have been possible previously, right? So you're celebrating it. I love it. So she says, so thanks. Oh, no problem. He or she, I should say. A couple of years ago, while out on a walk, Dandy, who was off lead, saw a dog in the distance who was on a lead. She has good recall, but this time all she could see was this dog she wanted to play with. Oh no. She ran towards it at full pelt, like a crazed bat coming straight out of hell. Oh, not just a regular bat. This one was coming straight out of hell. She got to around 2 meters from the other dog and owner when she drops to the ground on her belly. Combat crawls towards them until she was beside them. She's dramatic. I like it. She slowly starts to tip sideways until she is on her back. With her little docked tail wagging like mad, she gets so excited. Oh no! She gets so excited she wets herself. Just as she starts wetting herself, the owner of the other dog bends down to stroke her. No! Unfortunately, as her tail was wagging too much, the pee was being sprayed upwards and covered the woman's face. What? No! Ever seen a hippo spray poop with their tail? Oh, we have actually. Yeah, we have. I was in Africa, just to clarify, not Oakhampton. Ever seen a hippo spray poop with their tail? Like an upside down hippo, our little Dandy hippo sprayed a woman in the face with her pee. Oh my God. It's horrendous. The only saving grace was the woman thought she was a puppy and didn't know any better. I apologised a lot and walked away thinking, I'm fairly sure all those other trainers are wrong. I don't think this is something you are going to grow out of. I know. Anybody that says to you, your dog's going to grow out of something, I hate to say it. They don't grow out of it. You've got to give them the skills. Well done. Okay, I just want to say I love your podcast. I've been a fan for the last 3 years and I love learning from you. Yay! Welcome home. 2 years ago, I went to an agility camp for the first time with my hormonal 14-month-old border collie. We have subsequently found out she had a hormonal imbalance, which resulted in some reactivity from her. She's all sorted now. Brilliant. I should say that that's very common. Maybe we'll do a podcast episode on hormones. Maybe the next couple of podcast episodes can be on hormones if you guys are up for that. But interestingly, we do see hormones really impacting behaviour struggles. And of course, in the behaviour clinic, all the clinicians are veterinary professionals. And what they do is they look at your dog's veterinary history and take a thorough assessment. It's all on Zoom or remote. And sometimes what we find is that in correcting a hormonal imbalance in the females, and I say imbalance, it's a little bit more complex. Maybe I can talk about it at some point. What we find is that actually their behaviour struggles improve. So that's a really valid point. I know this is meant to be cringe stories, not educational, but can't help it. So we got to the agility camp on the Thursday when most people were pitching on the Friday. So Friday morning was totally quiet. Only a few tents and caravans had pitched. Early Friday, Charlie wakes up for a wee due to the cockerel that woke us. Ooh. Gosh, multiple species. I had my pajamas on and put a coat on to take her for a quick walk around for a wee. As I passed the portable toilet block, I thought I may as well go as I was passing it. Okay. I like where this is going. As Charlie was struggling with some reactivity, I didn't want to leave her outside, so I took her in with me. This seemed fine for Charlie. Bit cramped, but with an audience, I started to go for a wee. Gosh, this is like a wee episode. The toilet block had four toilets next to each other, and the campsite was dead. So because this was the first time Charlie had been in the toilet, I was making sure she was okay getting in, as it was a bit dark still. I forgot to lock the door. All of a sudden, mid-wee, the door swings open. Charlie, the people-loving dog that she is, lunged forward to say hi. I forgot to mention that I was holding the lead still. Well, as you can imagine, I was pulled when Charlie jumped up to see the man. Yes, a man. Walked into the exact toilet that I was walked into the exact toilet that I was having a wee in. All the others were empty. Oh dear, no! I don't know why I said it like that. Oh dear. So there was me, sat having a wee 1 minute, door opened, Charlie lunged forward, me attached to the lead, then I was in the open field trying to hold on to Charlie and pull my pants up. I looked up to see the man staring at me. Charlie loving life and me trying to sort myself out to be presentable. It was so embarrassing. To top it off, this man had the biggest hairdo ever, and the whole weekend at the show I kept seeing him. Each time we both went red and averted our eyes. What's the hairdo got to do with it? Maybe because she can spot him.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah? Okay.
Did she also have a big hairdo?
I don't know. The first show I ever went to, and within 12 hours, I had exposed myself to some random guy. The shame. Oh, no. That's one to be proud of. That is an awesome story. The other weekend, I took my dog, Saoirse, who worries about other dogs invading his space, to a lovely working country estate where dogs are welcome but have to be on lead. Ideal for us. We enjoyed the walk, stopped to play some games. Saoirse had plenty of opportunities to read and answer his P-mails. Again, common theme. All of a sudden, I heard loud, happy voices and a large group of people emerged on the other side of the stream. The stream, the water stream, I assume. They had a small dog on a lead and a large coffee-coloured poodle off lead. I was furious and shouted, yet someone somehow remembering my manners, "Good morning, you are supposed to keep your dogs on lead here." That is very polite, I like it. A gentleman in front waved and shouted back, "Good morning, we live here and so do the dogs, but thank you all the same." Aww. It was the lord of the manor and his guests. Cringe. In the meantime, the poodle legged it across the bridge over the stream and was fast approaching us. "Coco!" shouted the man. "Coco! Coco!" But all Coco wanted to do is to come and say hello to my dog. Saoirse was barking at the approaching Coco. No lunging, I mentally noted. Brilliant, log the wins. We did an A to B. Coco followed. It felt like an eternity. It probably only lasted a minute. Eventually, the other dog returned to their people and was put on a lead. We had to return the same way they went because of the layout of the place. We played some games, did two paws on a bench, find it in the grass, and some cute behaviours too. This is definitely a help my dog hub student, isn't it? Awesome job. Basically, we were squeezing the juice. You are definitely a help my dog hub student. Way to go. So minus the cringe, luckily, what could have been a bit of a disaster turned out to be a great training opportunity. And I love the whole attitude that I hear throughout all of this. You win a mug, okay? Whoever you are with Saoirse or other name that may have been anonymized, you definitely win a mug. All you got to do is email team@helpmydog.com and we will get a Help My Dog mug sent out to you. And the reason why I love this is because, and the reason why I thought I bet this is a Help My Dog Hub student is because what we tend to do as dog owners is we tend to disempower ourselves a little bit. Okay, this is good. This is on the theme of the podcast episode. We tend to disempower ourselves a little bit. And what I mean by that is we make ourselves feel worse. We disempower ourselves of the strategies that would help us, help our dogs, help the situation when we focus on what we cannot control. Yeah. And what this cringe story highlights is that this owner repeatedly kept reminding him or herself what they can control, yeah? They said, they saw the other dog off lead. They said, "Good morning, you are supposed to keep your dogs on lead here," right? I can control that. I can control what comes out of my mouth. Then the Coco's owner, the lord of the manor, said, "No, we live here," right? And at that point, we could have gone into frustration, anger, disappointment, spiral, yeah? And focus on the fact that actually Coco is approaching and the world is ending and you've ruined my walk. But instead, what this owner did is said, "Okay, I learned some emergency protocol strategies in the Help My Dog Hub for situations like this. I'll do one of them. I'll do an A to B. Yeah, we get out of there. But then not only that, this owner said, I think this is an opportunity for my dog to learn to recover from being pursued by Coco the poodle and actually learn that we've got strategies, that we can feel better, that we can move from a place of reaction to a place of seeking, focus, engagement, disengaging from the environment. And you employed all those strategies and in turn you did turn it into an opportunity. And that's what, when we say squeeze the juice, that's exactly what we mean. Squeeze the juice out of every situation, even if it seems like a bit of a pants one, right? Actually, there's an opportunity everywhere. And that's probably a great place, guys, to end this podcast episode. We need more cringe stories because we love to hear them. And I'm only ever meant to share one, but then Madeline's like, here are three. So please, please, please send them in if you've got a similar story. Maybe it's inspirational, like the last one, right? Cringe@helpmydog.com. That's cringe@helpmydog.com, and Mrs. Cringe herself will read them, review them, and get them in front of me so that I'm reading them for the first time on the podcast. That was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. We will see you next time. I think we'll talk hormones next time, if you're up for it. So that's what we'll do next week. Have an amazing rest of your week, guys.